but God has done some magnificent things. Amen. He called, as a matter of fact, Bishop called me yesterday and sent him a copy of the program and the DVD, and he was just still in awe. So we just bless the Lord. We thank God, amen. All the lives that have been touched for justice, and as we're going to go with this, we're going to continue in Genesis 22, verses 14 through 19. But we deal with the residual blessings, amen. You don't obviously see them yet, but there are residual blessings, and there's ongoing. And we all want him to be here still, and just like he told me, he said, "Grandpa, I want to live like anybody else." He said, "But the most important thing is I'm ready for heaven." And tonight, I want to encourage you, I'm trying to remember who told me, after this experience, he says, so many, all the other things that used to be important are so unimportant. A lot of things are secondary things. Time, life change in a heartbeat. Amen. You can be healthy 1 minute and down the next. And I don't remember exactly who it was. I know it was. Yeah, it was his mom today. He said he's been trying to get in touch with you and just you and Gio to take y'all out for lunch. But this is what he said today. He stopped by the church. He said, after Justice's homegoing service, he said, life is not the same. That's why I said, life is not the same. He said, things. This is what he said. Paul, I heard him. Yeah, he said, it's not the same. He said, he used to take pride in doing a lot of big things. But he said, you know what, I just volunteered my time. As a result of Justice's homegoing service, he said, I volunteered my time with another professional musician to go play for a group of artistic kids. That's what he said. He said, things just aren't the same. Life has different value. Amen. So how much more should we be able to see things differently? All of the little things that we used to allow to get the advantage of us, we should see life a lot differently. And this is like the third time he showed me that, because something else happened. I can't remember all of the events, it's been so much, but he said, things just aren't the same. You know, he said, after experiencing that and seeing the faith of that young man, so we never know what God is doing. And we don't know what God is doing. He said, after seeing his faith and seeing what he went through, he said, things aren't the same. Paul, I heard him, he was talking to the both of us. He was on the car phone. So let us turn up our spiritual lives. Amen. Let's stop focusing on secondary issues. Amen. Let's make the primary issue is what does God want us to do. Amen. How can we change the lives? The people that we rub shoulders with every day, how can we make a difference in their lives? Amen. Let us turn to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We thank God for my wife, still pressing her way. Amen. We thank God for all of you pressing your way. Amen. It's not a day to go by that somebody doesn't call to find out about Justice. My cousins, my brothers, everybody's just calling, mission, everybody's calling on a regular basis. Amen. But we listen. I think my wife said it best. She said, I don't remember exact words. She said, you said something when Justice passed. You said something about, let's not do something. I don't remember what it was. Okay. But you said, let's not let his passion or what he's done be in vain. Amen. Let's use it as a springboard. God is doing some great things.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Some stuff we see and some stuff we don't see. But we need to trust and believe God. Amen. But let us stand for our scripture reading, which we come from Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And I did make it short. We're only going to do 5 verses tonight, verses 14 through 19. Amen. Genesis 22, verses 14 through 19. Amen. And when you really study God's word, I'll go over a little after we read, it's just amazing how God is so specific in details. We a lot of times we approach God and the Word of God, we approach it through abstract, through, you know, just a wide open space, a wide open dealing, but God is so specific in details, amen. Genesis 22:14 reads, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, multiplying, I will multiply thee. As the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word, and the church said, verse 18 says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And the blessing came because he did what? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. There are blessings that come through obedience. Some blessings you will see now, some blessings will come in time, but there's a blessing. Oh, sorry, let me see. Now you got a word? Blessings that come through obedience. So, you know, as we're studying the Word of God, and I need you to consider this, as we're studying the Word of God, who wrote the Pentateuch, which would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? Who wrote that?
Moses.
All right. So God blesses Moses to write the Pentateuch, which are the five books of the law. But in writing the books of the law, Moses takes us back to Genesis. Now, from Genesis to when Moses writes this, a span of over 2,500 years go by. How could Moses so accurately detail what happened 2,500 years prior to his birth? Just think about that. You know, a lot of times we think that Moses is writing chronologically, doing a chronological writing of the events as they're taking place. But God gives him a rear vision of events that took place 2,500 years before he was born. Amen. But he doesn't write just vaguely or abstractly, but he gives us direct details.
Amen.
You know, I'm reading, I'm stuck, it's like, wow. You know, one of the Jewish scholars said, the book of Genesis and the events that took place in the Garden of Eden were not written for Adam and Eve. They weren't written for Adam and Eve, they were written for us. Amen. But it's just amazing how God can be so accurate. He knows, he called Abraham, and Abraham did this. Abraham had two young men, 2,500 years. Right? He's writing this all these thousands of years later. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
So if we just will take time to think of how much God loves us, that he gives us a blueprint to follow for success. God gives a blueprint to follow for success. But let us go to our notes, amen. So as we're studying and reading, remember, Moses is writing history 2,500 years later. 2,500 years later, he's giving us an accurate detail of what happened over 2,000 years before he was even born. But he doesn't do it in just a vague, abstract way, but he gives us specific details, amen. So we start off in our notes. Do you all have your notes?
Yeah.
And we're going to start off with verse 14, and we already read that. It says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. The name means literally, the Lord will see or provide. How many trust that God will see or provide? Amen. It's amazing. God will see. God will provide. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'll stop there. Signifying that the Lord has seen my need and will provide. The Lord has seen my need and will provide. The Lord saw that Abraham was about to sacrifice his only son. So he saw that there was a need for a substitutionary sacrifice in advance. So the Lord has seen my need, now he's going to provide. But he did provide it almost 2,000 years later. Amen? The Bible teaches that Jesus saw our greatest need for salvation from sin and eternity in hell and provided that need. Now all that trust in him have a promise that if they walk with him, they will have all their needs provided for as well. Romans 8:31 and 32 reads, what shall we then say to these things? If, Lord, thank you. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's something that as a church we should stand on. I like the testimony that he said that Xavier gave. He said he couldn't touch those that were truly saved. But he could tell those that he could wear those that was faked out. Amen. So if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also? If you just be obedient to God, you don't have to work for it. God will do what? He will freely give it to you. Amen. And this is where the devil has deceived us into thinking that we have to do what only God can do. Amen. If we obey God, if we do what God said, I have seen, now I will provide because I am Jehovah Jireh. What is he going to provide? All of our needs. If we trust him. And also if we obey him. Many times we disobey God for whatever the reason might be and then expect God to bless us. The blessings of Abraham came because the scripture said he obeyed God's voice. How can you be blessed if you walk in disobedience? For whatever the reason it is, you can blame it on whoever or whatever. We should always obey God. Amen? We should obey God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Says, what a wonderful type do we find in Isaac being a type or shadow of Christ. And we're going to go to Galatians 3, 8 through 9. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, how? He justifies the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so that they which be of faith are blessed with just walk in faith. I hope this message has opened up unto you and helped you to understand a bit more about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you trusted in his free God? Listen, salvation is a free gift that we give from God if we walk in obedience and walk in obedience to his word. God preached the gospel to Abraham through prophecies and types. And here we see this type open up before our eyes. Have you received this gospel of salvation in your heart? And have you received the Savior? It tells us. 1 Corinthians 1 through 4 reads, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and where ye stand, by which also ye are saved. You can get saved through the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is a power of God unto salvation. So you need the gospel, amen? By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you. So you're saved, but you cannot let the things which we've heard, let them slip. Right? We must give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Amen? Keep them in memory, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died. Y'all read that part, I can't see it on mine. For I says, according to the scripture, and he was buried, and he arose again the third day, according to the scripture. Jesus was crucified on Calvary, which is on Mount Moriah. And we know Mount Moriah is what the sacrificial lamb was, or what originally Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac. Mount Moriah was buried in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, and then arose triumphantly over the grave. Have you trusted the Lamb of God to take away your sins and save you? Also notice this verse specifically tells us that Mount Moriah and Calvary are the mountain of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord of the Old Testament is the same Lord of the
New Testament.
The Lord of the Old Testament is the Lord of the
New Testament.
Isaac was going to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah. Jesus was sacrificed on Mount Calvary. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:4 reads, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord of the Old Testament and the Lord of the
New Testament.
Isaiah 44:6-3. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Now, we want to pay attention to this, right? Because we know there can only be one verse in my life. Right? Amen. You with me? Only one verse. The Lord of the Old Testament is also the Lord of the New Testament. I am the first and I am the last. And besides me, God said, I am the first. And he said, I am the last. Amen. Compare this Isaiah 44:6 with Revelation 1:11-17 to 22:13, a revelation. So in Isaiah says, I am the first, I am the last, besides me there is no God. And we're establishing the fact that the God of the Old Testament is also Lord in the New Testament. Revelation 1:11 says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, first and the last. We'll just stop there. I am the first and the last. But who said I'm the first and the last in Isaiah 44:6? God. So how many first and last can we have? There's only one. Amen. So let's keep going. Revelation 1:17 reads, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hands upon me, saying unto me, fear not. And now who's speaking in Revelation? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the first and I am the last. Revelation 2:8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last. Well, what do you know about the first and the last? Which was dead and is alive. Revelation 22:13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Amen. And if for those of us that were in Wednesday night Bible study, remember in Genesis 1:1? Amen. In the Hebrew, when they write it, there's two words in there in between. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's E.T. Now, E.T. means the first and the last. That E.T. means the Alpha and the Omega. All right, you can go back to your notes. Remember that. The E.T., the first and the last. The Alpha and Omega. And the first is the Aleph, which is the head of God. And the Tav is the last, or the crucifixion on the cross. All the way back in the beginning. It has not changed. God has been consistent from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. Amen. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the... All we're trying to show is that he has not changed. He's the Lord of the old and the Lord of the new. Amen. Amen. The Lord is the what God?
True God.
True God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. And at his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Now, we're going to compare Jeremiah 10:10 with John 17:3 and 1 John 5:20. Now, we just don't know who is the true God. Right? Just to show you, the Lord of the Old Testament is the Lord of the New Testament. The Mount Moriah is the same Lord on Mount Calvary. Amen? Are you all with me? So, Jeremiah said, the Lord is the what? True God. Now, John writes, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the what? The only true God. And can be and, but also and even. Right? So it says that they might know thee, the true God, even Jesus Christ. Amen? Then let's go to 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us. Who can he give us from the sins? That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. And it tells you plainly, who is he? He is the true God. So the Lord of the Old Testament is still the Lord in the New Testament. The true God in the Old Testament is still the true God in the New Testament. Even Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Mount Moriah and Mount Calvary are called the Mount of God, because the substitutionary atonement and male sacrifice of Isaac and Jesus were both sacrificed here. For But we know that Peter tells us that God has made that same Jesus whom he crucified
both
Lord and Christ. That's Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for sure, there ain't no doubt in this, that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now remember, he's speaking to the Jews. So when they they know that the Lord is Jehovah God. It's just like when Paul, the Lord stopped Paul on the road to Damascus. And remember, Saul at this time was not yet Paul, so he was steeped in his Jewish tradition. And Paul knew for sure that the Lord is God. So when the Lord stops him and Jesus asks, he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he's not thinking about the New Testament law. He's talking about the who? Old Testament law. So he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." I mean, how plain can you make it? He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It's hard for you to kick against the prick." And the Bible says Paul was astonished. Because the Lord of the Old Testament, Paul said, is also now the Lord of the New Testament. Amen. I could stay a little longer, but we're not. But if you do go, then remember when Thomas, doubted Thomas comes from who? Thomas. Because Thomas doubted that they had seen Jesus. Thomas said, "Except I put my finger in the hole in the side and I told him, and he said, I will not believe." The door was shut. You know what I like about Jesus? He don't need no door to be open. He just stepped in the room. He says, "Thomas, hold in the hand and hold in my side." And Thomas, now he said, "Watch you." Thomas says, "My Lord and
my God."
My God. Right? "My Lord and
my God."
He's telling who Jesus is. All right, that's good. So we know he's the same in the old and he's the same in the new. Genesis 22:15. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven
the second time."
I don't think Abraham was dead. Do y'all think Abraham was dead?
No.
So why would God have to call him a second time? Right? Why would God have to call Abraham a second time? And that's really critical, because this is him calling Abraham a second time, but this is the first time that Isaac has ever heard the voice of God come from heaven.
Amen.
So he calls him a second time to confirm to Isaac, "No, you did not make a mistake in what you heard the first time. So I'm going to call second time." It's important to bring out one thing that I haven't mentioned yet. God does all this with Abraham. I would have been watching. Right? Well, you know he had to lose him because he already bound him and set him on the altar. So as God is talking, Abraham, all I can do is sit there and listen. "I heard a voice, but I saw no man." Just like Paul, Saul on the road to Damascus, "I heard a voice, but I saw no man." Now this is the first time Isaac is experiencing it. He's like, "What is this?" So the Lord comes back a second time. Amen. He does all of this with Abraham in front of Isaac to confirm his promise that in his seed Isaac shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And if we go to Genesis 13:16, he says, now this is when the Lord is making these promises to Abraham, but Isaac is not yet born. "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also." He said, God said, "What I'm going to do, even though you don't have a seed, amen, I'm speaking all things that be not as of the earth." He said, "When your seed begins to expand, they won't even be able to be numbered." Genesis 21:12 says, "And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the land, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed." This is when Sarah said, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son Ishmael, because he shall not be heir with thy son Isaac, because in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Amen. Isaac here choice. So God was not God's choice. So God said, I have to speak to you a second time so I don't get caught up in the cultural thinking of the day. Because Ishmael is not the seed. You are the seed. Amen. Genesis 22:16, and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, sometimes you wonder, why does God have to keep repeating something? Right? Why does God have to keep repeating thy son, thy only son? And how did Moses know 2,500 years later to write this down? And just think about that. Moses was up in the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. How many times? Twice. He wasn't up there on a siesta relaxing. Right? He was up there getting some stuff from God. Amen. 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the presence of the Almighty God 2 times. And God was giving him information about what had happened in the past. Amen. This is the 3rd time that God calls Isaac thine. Because the thought of that day, well, what about Ishmael? Ishmael doesn't count. It doesn't count in what God has planned. Amen. Because God told Abraham and Sarah, in thy seed, right? Not in the seed from Hagar, but in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Amen. Genesis 22:2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son. Genesis 22:12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, and the lad of the Lord calls him thine only son. He said, you will have not withheld thine only son from me. Genesis 22:16 said, by myself I was sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. So 3 times he tells him, thine only son. Also, this is the 2nd time that God tells Abraham in front of Isaac that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. I believe that God did this to confirm the covenant with Isaac. This is also the 1st time that Isaac has personally, this is the what? 1st time that Isaac has personally heard the voice of God for himself. We know from the scripture that God always does something twice to confirm his importance, to confirm that the voice is his. God always does it what? Twice. Amen. Even if you read in Genesis, I believe, when Pharaoh has a dream, he tells us that God doubled the dream for a reason. Because it shall soon come to pass. Amen. But let's stay here. Genesis 22:11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Remember we said before that here am I is the Hebrew word Hanani, and it means to be at God's complete disposal. Amen. So Lord, what will you have me to do? Important to know, Abraham became the father of faith after passing the test of sacrificing his only begotten son. God is the absolute father of faith who sacrificed his only begotten son. We know that in John 3:16. So Abraham is a father of faith, but the absolute father of faith is God. If we compare Genesis 22:12, and let's go to Genesis 46:2, and God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night. God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob. I'm just going to show you what happened when God speaks twice. And he said, here am I, and you already went over what enemy means, all right? He says, important to know that the Lord tells Jacob not to be afraid. He will see Joseph and his descendants will become a great nation in the foreign land. Jacob, along with Abraham and Isaac, have the distinction of wearing the title the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? But God had to speak to Jacob, call Jacob's name twice. Exodus 3:4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, this is Moses, to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. I'm at your disposal, Lord. Amen. Important to note By the way, Moses is considered to be second only to Jesus as the leader of Israel after his double call. Amen. 1 Samuel 3:10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hear. This is the first time that God speaks to Samuel. This is the first time that Isaac hears God's voice. He does it twice. This is the first time he speaks to Samuel. Important to note that Samuel became the mouthpiece of God to a backslidden nation, a godly judge and a true priest of God, and an anointer of kings after his double call. Luke 10:41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Important to know that Jesus calls Martha twice because he needed her full attention. Martha was burdened down with serving the Lord, but she had neglected the most important thing of all, which was the word of God. Amen. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Important to know that Peter did deny Christ, as he had said, but he goes on to become the leader of the apostles and the spokesman for the church on the day of Pentecost after the double call. Amen. Psalms 22:1, my God, this is David writing, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus became the Lord and Savior of the world after his double call. And Acts 9:4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Important to know that God selects Paul, who's better known, Saul, who's better known as Paul afterwards, as an instrument to bear Jesus' name to the Gentiles and the kings. I would like to also point out that many Bible scholars and theologians believe that the term the angel of the Lord is making reference to an angel of the Lord. This verse, along with several others, dispel this thought because this verse states, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord. Now, we will compare this verse with Genesis 16:11-13, Genesis 22:11-12, and Exodus 1-7. We will see that the angel of the Lord, I just want to go, let's go to, let's go to Judges. Go to the next page. You all can read this, but I just want to read the Judges account, all right, of the angel of the Lord. And you all can read the other in your spare time. We're just showing you how God, through something so small, confirms who he is. Amen? In Judges 13:13-23, do you all see that? Let's read there. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh out of the vine. Let's go to verse 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have bread and a kid for thee. And he said, you can do it, but I'm not going to eat. Verse 16. Verse 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, we may know, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? Now we talk about, he's who? Angel of the Lord. A lot of people say it's just an angel, but it's more than that. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their face to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have... So the angel of the Lord is God. Amen. Genesis 22:17. You all read the spiritual stuff in between, okay? Genesis 22:17. That in blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Now this is what he had already said to Abraham. Abram at that time, if you want to be politically correct, he said to Abram. Now he's repeating it to Abraham in front of Isaac. Right? That's important to remember. He's not just doing this now for Abraham, but he's also doing it for Isaac. The Lord always repeats the promise that he had earlier made to Abraham, but he does it in front of Isaac to confirm the covenant with Isaac, and so that Isaac would also believe. Alright, these verses just confirm what he already said, alright? So you can read it in your spare time. Now let's go to Genesis 22:18. Alright. That you all can read. He just does this to confirm what he'd already told Abraham. But he's repeating the promise in front of who? Isaac. Alright, that's so important. Remember, he's repeating it in front of Isaac, so that Isaac will also believe. God could not manifest his grace and his power for deliverance through Isaac if Isaac did not believe. Right? So God had to get him to believe. That's why he speaks twice. So that Isaac can't say, I thought I heard. But now Isaac will say, I know that I heard. Now, Genesis 22:18. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Everybody's going to be blessed because you have heard, you have obeyed my voice. Amen. Remember I talked about earlier the residual blessings?
Amen.
Residual blessings, you don't see them right away, but they will come. So Abraham obeyed God's voice, and the Jews of Israel were blessed. Amen. Abraham is a prime example of how one person's obedience to God's voice can be a, what kind of blessing? Residual blessing to others. And just these notes I just found out today. Consider this about residual blessings of Jews from Abraham's obedience to the voice of the Lord. Most of the inventions are by Jews. Most of the Nobel Peace Prize winners were Jews. Most of the billionaires now and down through the years, through the history, have been Jews. Jews are a minority of a race, but they receive the residual blessing for Abraham and shine. And they got what kind of blessing? Residual blessing because Abraham obeyed God. You might not see the blessings right now, but just be obedient to God. Amen. Don't let anyone cause you to disobey God. And that's why the Lord told Saul to obey is better than sacrifice. So just obey God. No matter, a lot of times we make poor decisions when it comes to obeying God because of what we think we might miss out on or lose. If you obey God, you might not get it now, but you can be assured that God cannot deny himself nor his word. So if you obey God, the blessing is on the way.
Yes.
Amen. May not come when you want it, may not come when you expect it, but it's always on the way. Genesis 22:19. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Alright? And Beersheba's name is derived from the Hebrew words pronounced Beer, meaning well, and Sheba meaning seven. Hence the name of the town meant the seventh well, or well of seven. The area of Beersheba is first mentioned in the Bible as the place where Hagar went after she was sent away from Abraham because of the family conflict with Sarah. All right, so the first mention of Beersheba is where Hagar and Ishmael are. Okay, Hagar was not abandoned by God. However, he spoke to her directly and helped her. Ishmael went on to become very successful, becoming a great nation from its descendants. The Arab people of today are from Ishmael. Amen. And you know, when you think about it, all they have to do is go back and read the Bible. They already tell you it's going to be the blessing. It's going to come through what seed? When you try to force the hand of God, it causes unnecessary problems. Because if Sarah had not tried to force God's hand by having a seed through Hagar, there would be a conflict between the Jews and the Arabs. So it is as a result of somebody trying to make God fit into something that God did not plan. Many times we create undue and unnecessary hardship for ourselves, trying to force God's hand. Just be obedient and do what he says.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Don't try to circumvent God's plan for your life. All right? I don't know if I want to go through. Well, let's go through some of it anyway. So, Beersheba, okay? Let's go to Genesis 21, 14 through 18. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bowl. This is when he sent, Hagar away. Right. Let's go to the part where Beersheba has some very important events in the history of Israel and the Jews. Beersheba could also be called the place of promises. Do you see that after Genesis 21:18?
Amen.
Could be called the place of promises. Beersheba is also the place of some other notable events in Israel's history. Jacob has his stairway to heaven dream in the area of Beersheba. All right, you can read that in your spare time. Let's go down to that. Later, God spoke to Jacob in Beersheba when the Israelites were on their way to Egypt, where they would remain for over 400 years in eventual slavery before Exodus. And that's 46, 1 through 5. I just want to read verses 1 and 2 that are good enough for right this. 46, 1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifice unto the God of his father, Isaac. All right, so Abraham is in Beersheba. Isaac is in Jacob is in. And he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. The prophet Elijah, after Genesis 4:6-5, the prophet Elijah sought refuge in Beersheba after wicked Jezebel ordered him killed. Amen. Samuel's two corrupt sons, who served as judges in Beersheba, caused Israelites to demand their first king, which they got in Saul. Alright? I'm not going to go over the scriptures. You all can read the scriptures in your spare time because you have the notes. This will give you something to do. Amen?
Amen.
Israel's first king was anointed in
Beersheba
because the Lord heard
their cry,
just as he heard
Ishmael
when he was crying and about to die from thirst. The Lord heard their cry and made them a promise, which he also fulfilled. Beersheba is known for the place where an oath is performed and also
completed.
The oath is performed and also completed. Sheba is also the number 7 and means promise, oath, or completion. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word.
Amen.
Amen. So all of that came out of Genesis 22. And I didn't get a chance to go any further yet. Lord willing, we'll try and finish it next week. But all of this, out of that little bit, because God has a lot of golden hidden nuggets when you study his word. Amen. Why would Beersheba be so important? Because all of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, resided there. Amen. Do we have any questions that the notes cannot answer? Any questions? Amen. Any questions? So I love for the Lord to call my name twice.
Amen.
If God called me twice, that means he has some great things.
Amen.
Right? He has some great things in store for me if he calls me twice. But you have to have a really different mindset when you're studying, especially the Old Testament. We know the New Testament is after the account is written as the events are unfolding. But much of the Old Testament, especially in the Pentateuch, all the way up to Exodus, are events that took place when no one had a written record of it. God specifically took Moses up to, I forget which mountain it was, not Moriah. But he takes him up into the mountain, it might have been Mount Moriah. Now, what's it? It's on the tip of my tongue, I'll tell you in a minute. as he comes to me. But he takes him up to the Mount Zion, and he, for 40 days and 40 nights, twice, he reveals these truths unto Moses. And one of the most fascinating things about him being in the Mount with God those two times, he ate no bread and drank no water. Right? How are you going to be somewhere for 40 days and 40 nights, and you don't eat no bread and drink no water? The answer is really simple. Because he was in the presence of the sustainer of life. He was in the presence of the sustainer of life. It's a place in God we can get to. The natural things won't make a difference. There's a place in God we can all get to. Where natural things won't make a difference. Because we'll be in the presence of the sustainer of life. We can get in the place in God where sickness can't affect us. Because we're in the presence of the sustainer of life. But we gotta get there. Amen. A lot of times we wish and hope we can get there. You gotta put forth effort. Okay? Moses had to put forth effort because he had to climb the mountain. Right? He didn't say come out of the valley, come out of the little plain. He said come up here. Right? So that means we too have to put forth effort to get into the presence of God. Salvation is free. But it's not cheap, and it definitely is not easy. Amen? All right, that's good enough. Because you know, I'm wearing my brain. I might stop thinking so much. Amen. Do we have any questions? Who want to get in that place? I like to find that secret place.
Amen.
Yes. He that dwelleth in the secret place. That's a place of God.
Yes.
Amen. Shall abide under the
shadow.
Both is found in. Love and founded. I will say, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. We got to get to that place, amen. If we have no other questions, do we have anyone that needs prayer tonight? Amen. It's beautiful. All right, let us stand. Songs of where He leads me. Where He leads me. We live in very challenging times spiritually. There's so much deception. There's such a spirit of error that's prevalent in the land. We daily have to ask and pray and ask God, Lord, lead me. Amen. The Bible says it's not a man that walks into all of his steps. Because the steps of a good man are? The steps of a good man are what? My question to you is, when's the last time you asked God to order your steps? And that's so important. When did you last ask God for all your steps? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all my ways, and He right, He will direct our path. Amen. If we have no other thing, no prayer, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We ask You to find a lodging place in our heart. Lord, we ask You to continue to reveal Yourself to us more and more on a personal as well as a corporate level. Oh God, we ask You in our personal lives, make us to know that Your way is perfect, and Lord, that You make no mistake. In our corporate lives as a church, oh God, we ask You to band us together, unify us, and give us a mind that work as one man. For when Nehemiah went to rebuild the wall, He said He was able to accomplish it because they were as one man. And Lord, as we prepare to leave this place with never thy presence, we ask You to go with us. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You.
turn the drums on towards us. All right.